everybody. This is Patrick Motes, sports writer for the Bell Ringer, track and cross country athlete here at Augusta University with another edition of the Sports Squad from Bell Ringer Phoenix Media. Today on this special edition, we will be discussing the Masters and the Braves. I'm your host for the show, joined by Avery Janes and Justin Gray. Guys, welcome back. It's been a few weeks since we've been on the show. We've had a lot of stuff come up with Masters Week coming into town, and we'll get into a little bit of what all goes into that. And so, in spring break, of course, during the Masters Week. So it's good, guys, to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
So, right to the chase, Masters. Scottie Scheffler winning the tournament in grand fashion. He shot 11 under and really pulled away in that final round there on Sunday. And he shot really consistent. Justin, you worked the Masters. Why don't we talk about that for a little bit and your experience with the Masters?
Yeah, it was a great week. I was a runner at CBS, so got to see the course some, got to take some stuff over there, and just it was my first time seeing Augusta National, so it was a special experience. Beautiful golf course. I mean, obviously, you could guess that without seeing it, but yeah. Spent a little too much money at the shop. It just kind of starts talking to you, like, how many times are you really going to get to come back to the pro shop? And then yeah. You start thinking, oh, I can spend this extra 30 bucks. So got me some hats and enjoyed my time for sure. Made some good money.
That's always nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's always nice, especially this time of the year, being a college student. It gets a little dry in the bank account. So yeah. You got to find something like that. But I'll definitely do it next year if the opportunity comes. And I look forward to seeing where it takes me. So, but as the tournament, you know, I watched probably every guy play. It was the most I've ever watched any golf ever. Mm-hmm. And probably watched every stroke Scottie Scheffler had. But it was a fun week. It was great to see Scottie win. He's a great guy. He's the best golfer in the world. It's not close at all. I mean, he won this tournament. It sounds stupid, but he won it without – it didn't feel like he tried. It just felt like it was just normal. Like, he just shot 11
under. He was out
there
on a Sunday afternoon playing golf, no pressure.
He literally
no
stated pressure. His iron shots were off, and he's still birdieing. I was like, are you off, or are you just – he's stone cold.
That's crazy. His putt game was crazy too, man.
Yeah, and that's always been the flaw in his game. Everybody was like, if he had a putter, man, he'd be Tiger Woods 2.0. Well, now he has a putter. Yeah. So he's just, you know, everybody's praying that his wife will go into labor sooner rather than later. Yeah. And, you know, it was going into Sunday. There was four guys in contention, really. Mm-hmm. He was at 7 under. I believe Max Homa was at 5 under. And Colin Morikawa was at 6 under. And then Ludvig Åberg was at 4 under. So they were all, you know, within one stroke of each other. And everybody just started to kind of crumble around him. You know, they went
up. I know.
Homa went to on hole 12, shot it over the green, lost his ball, so had to take a drop. Åberg didn't really crumble. He just didn't shoot good enough to beat Scheffler. But to talk about him for a minute, he's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. Less than a year ago, he was playing college golf. It was his first major. And he finished second place in the Masters. Pretty impressive showing.
Yeah.
I had heard about him going into the week. And, I didn't really buy into it because he's 24 years old. I don't like to buy into, like, the hype like that. And he lived up to it. So it was impressive from him. And then Tommy Fleetwood and Max Homa and Colin Morikawa finished tied for third. A little bit about Fleetwood. We were talking before the show. And Augusta native Gray Moore, who is a caddy around here, mm-hmm. got to actually be Tommy Fleetwood's caddy for the tournament. His usual caddy, Ian Finnis, had to miss it because he got sick, so he had to miss the tournament. So Moore was able to make really good money for himself this week and finished top five. So that was a pretty cool story. He's had over 30 years of experience at the property. So
wow. Yeah.
One of the best caddies you could have had.
Yeah. I mean, can you ask for anything better as far as that goes?
Scheffler's caddy is really good too. He was Bubba Watson's caddy when,
those,
and when they won it, I think he's won it twice at the Masters.
Yeah. So, he won it. So he's won four Masters as a caddy. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
It helps when you have the best player in the world though. as your, you know, player. So yeah, Scottie was fun to watch. And I think a lot of people were pulling for Max Homa. He's a good guy. Seems to be a good guy. and hasn't ever won a major. But, you know, the big names really didn't show up. Mm-hmm. You know, Brooks Koepka, you had...
Jordan Spieth went sent
home. Yeah, he did. He missed the cut. Rory McIlroy was never in it. He, you know, he struggles with his irons, and this was a week you had to be good with your irons. The wind was rough, and, you know, Scotty, he was a little off with his irons in round three, but his putter made up for it, had an eagle on, I believe, 13, and it was just... It was an impressive showing. You know, you saw these LIV guys. I don't mean, you know, I don't like LIV. I'll just say it straight up. I don't like their format. Golf's not supposed to be played in teams at that level. 54 holes is stupid. Mm-hmm. The logos they have are awful.
Yep.
Everything about it I just hate, and it's just a bought out. They're trying to ruin the, you know, what's been so good for so long.
And the PGA.
Yeah, and then you had Bryson DeChambeau, who was the leader after day one.
Isn't he the one that picked up the big old sign?
Yes, he did pick up the sign because it was in his way.
He's one of the, I don't know, he's a different golfer, I'll put it that way.
He's a very strategic guy. He believes in, you know, techniques, and like he 3D printed those irons that he used for the tournament a week before and got them approved and then used them for the Masters. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of fell apart after day one. I figured he would, but, you know, like I said, with LIV Tour, they play 54 holes in a weekend, and the Masters is 72. So last year we saw Koepka fall apart on Sunday. He's a LIV guy. I think this is a trend you'll start to see. I've seen people go away from betting on LIV guys, you know, not to talk too much about that, but just because you feel like they're going to fall apart because they're not used to playing this format. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these two tours. I don't think it's necessarily could be a bad thing to have two tours. I just don't think the way LIV's going about it is the best way. So we'll see what goes on with that. But for the Masters, it was a great weekend in Augusta. Busy weekend. You know, the first day got backed up a little bit because of rain. But besides that, just a great tournament. The course played as hard as they love it to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 11 under is a great score, don't get me wrong, but we've seen much more higher. And if Scheffler wouldn't have shot 4 under, we'd have saw under 10. And that's, you know, that's not something you see in these 4-round tournaments. So it was just a great weekend at Augusta National.
Yeah, I think probably one of the most surprising performances that we saw was Tiger's performance. I mean, he shot
16 over.
I thought it was his worst 17 finish at the Masters.
I mean,
ever.
That was. I mean, he's, you know, he's the greatest golfer, you know, he's
of all time.
Yeah,
of all time.
I agree.
And you know, he's gonna draw a big crowd no matter what. I mean, it's Tiger Woods, but I saw that and I was like, man. But I also got a lot of respect for him. The fact that like he was playing with what's his name on that final?
Neil Shipley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like, from what we could see, he was kind of talking to him and coaching
very
him.
Very relaxed.
Like, yes, he looked relaxed.
Tiger.
He looked like he was just enjoying himself on the course and just kind of taking it in. That wouldn't surprise me if this was his last Masters tournament, because that's something really uncharacteristic that we've seen of him. And I think that maybe he took that opportunity to kind of coach him up and just let, you know, enjoy the day and play the tournament, because it wouldn't surprise me if this was his last Masters.
Yeah, it was really cool just to watch him. I think
the interactions.
It shows a lot about Tiger, because everybody kept saying, when's he going to withdraw? When's he going to withdraw? He made the cut. When's he going to withdraw? He blew up after 9 holes on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been easy for him to pack it up and go home and say, I'm not healthy enough to do this. But he stayed around, and after the tournament, he said, I'm going to continue playing majors. I feel like my body's getting back to where it needs to be to play mm-hmm. these big tournaments. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it was, you know, missing short game shots and missing putts that he's not used to doing. He said the other day his body's not the same, but his hands are still the same. He could still, you know, he still has the touch. So I think with some tournament experience, we could see him get back to being not – Tiger of old. That's nobody will ever. Scotty's the best chance you got, but we'll see if that happens. The run he went, Scotty will have to be the number one player in the world for the next 12 years and 3 months to match how long Tiger mm-hmm. was the number one player in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be fun to watch Tiger kind of progress again and see if he can get back to a competitive player. But like you said, him taking Shipley under his wing, he knew how much that meant to Shipley playing around with him. And you know, you don't see him walking around talking on the golf course. It was very, very cool to see that side of Tiger. And then he got to shake hands with Vernon Lundquist on the 16th hole, his final Masters, 40th and final Masters. And that was really cool to see.
So much respect.
Yes, yeah, so much respect.
That was a lot of respect.
Well, you got to think Lundquist's career, his two best calls, arguably the two best calls in golf history, are at the hands of Tiger Woods. So I mean,
was he the one that's called when that putt went in? Where the was that him that was calling it when that putt went in? Like
on 16, where he chipped in and it rolled all the way down.
And that no, it was the one where it's the one where it, like it kept crept up to the hole and then it just fell
that's
in.
The
like
one.
Yeah.
He chipped it in from the
in your life.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, that was okay because I was like, that's still crazy.
One of the greatest golf shots of all time. Yeah. Honestly,
I actually got to watch when Scheffler made the putt on 18 with Lundquist, he came into the CBS and stood right beside me and watched. So that was a pretty cool moment for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think many people can say they watched his final Masters with him. So, you know, that was fun. But, you know, it was a great tournament. I'm not the biggest golf guy, but I do like the major tournaments. That's fun for me to watch. But
I think it's just like, it's because it's the Masters.
Yeah.
Not even the fact that we go to school here, but like it's just something about the tournament that just makes you turn the TV on.
The most electric golf, which you wouldn't think electric and golf usually go together, but it really is one of the most electric golf tournaments ever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care who you are. You're going to find more people that like most people don't even watch golf and they're turning the tournament on because it's just the Masters. Like there's something about it. It's like the people who don't watch football, but they're turning the Super Bowl on or something like that. You know, like
it's the same thing.
It is. So I just thought it was really cool. The course looked gorgeous as ever. I mean, you know, did you get to walk down Magnolia Lane and all that?
I actually got to ride down Magnolia Lane in a golf cart.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say stuff like that, but I don't really care. What am I going to do? Get fined or something? I ain't got no money. No, but I did. It was a lot of cool experiences. I got to go in Butler Cabin and see that, where they give them the green jacket and stuff like that. I was actually in there an hour before Jelly Roll was in there with Scott Van Pelt and Jim Nantz. So,
okay.
Yeah, I didn't get to meet Jim Nantz. I walked right past him, but I was a little too chicken to say hey, you know, because he's Jim Nantz, and I didn't know if he was on the way to something, so you know, missed opportunity for me for sure. But you know, maybe I'll get to meet him someday. They say he's one of the nicest guys in the industry. So, but it was really cool to work around all them people that are so famous, like Trevor Immelman. I met him. He won the 2008 Masters, I believe.
Okay, cool.
And he had his green jacket on. It was very cool. It was a very cool experience. So something I will definitely look back on the rest of my life and really be glad I did.
Yeah. So I guess my last question to you in this is, how's the food?
Oh, the food was great. So everything was catered. Every day you were catered, but you also got all the Masters concessions brought to CBS every single day. So pimento cheese, if you're into egg salad, if you're into chicken salad, all that stuff.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I had to go to the course to get a barbecue sandwich, which was amazing. I got some lemonade from the course, which was actually Minute Maid. Funny enough, I didn't think they would have Minute Maid lemonade at the Masters.
Yeah,
I
think
thought
they'd
be homemade.
Like, they'd squeeze their own lemons from the course.
Yeah, they'd have lemons flown in from the equator or something like that every morning.
But I mainly got lemonade to get cups because you can't buy them in the store. You have to go out there. And I just bought like four lemonades and dumped them out because I just wanted the cups.
You just wanted the 2024 Masters cups.
Yeah, and they had the green cups are for the beer, apparently. I didn't know that. I was like, how did I get a green cup? They were like, yeah, to buy beer. And I was like, well, I'm not 21, so. But I did wind up getting a green cup, so that was good. Not because I bought beer. But
You asked for somebody else.
No. But it was a great experience. The catering, you know, there was a meal every time of the day. Like you went in at 8 o'clock and they would make sure you had breakfast, great breakfast. And then at lunchtime every day at 12:30, I wouldn't even be hungry, but I'd go over there and eat because it was good stuff. So
yeah.
they complain about it a little bit, the workers, because they have that every week because they're somewhere else every week eating.
Man,
I would never spend
life.
Money. I would never spend money if I worked for CBS all the time because everything's good. But it's, you know, it's a great experience and they all, you know, we got to watch the tournament most of the time while on the clock. So
what was some of the stuff that you did there? Like, just anything and everything for them?
Anything they asked me to. It was it was filling up coolers and like the, you know, the coolers that you open and they have all the drinks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those kind of coolers.
Yeah.
It would be trash. It would be taking somebody to the pro shop or taking somebody to Butler Cabin or taking sandwiches to Butler Cabin or just stuff like that.
Okay.
And so it was really fun. You know, I think next year they let the second year people like kind of go out there more and take stuff out there a little bit more. So maybe I'll get that chance. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It went really well. I made some good friends and met some really cool people that do this for a living.
Yeah.
And they enjoy it. So I can see why. But yeah, it was a great experience. I was very, very pleased with my experience with CBS.
Well, we really appreciate all that info.
You're welcome.
Mean, you know, you were there, you lived it all. I was watching it from TV at home and stuff like that. It was a great tournament.
It was.
So let's move into the Braves for this one. I mean, you know, we've got the Braves aficionados here, you know. I'm just like a regular Joe. To me, it seems like it's been a little bit up and down. Obviously, I think the big news is that Spencer Strider's out for the season, which is an absolute just sports travesty. I mean, this is just not okay. This is not good. We're just back to being a bunch of depressed Atlanta fans. but I don't know. The Mets series was up and down. The Miami series been up and down. Like, I don't – they got out, like, real hot against the D-backs, and then it's just been kind of just up and down. The only thing that we – the Braves have to rely on is Ozuna.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that guy's going
Ozuna's
crazy.
Ozuna's doing great.
That guy's going crazy.
He's been great. You know, it's funny. I think the same thing. I've told my dad. I'm like, it's rough in Atlanta, and we're 12 and – the Braves are 12 and 5. Like, it's great when you can say it's been bad and you're the best team in the world. Like, you know, they've lost Sean Murphy for a while. Ozzy.
How long is he out for?
When you have your oblique strain like that, it's 10 days IL, but
– it'll probably be a little bit longer.
It'll be longer because there's so much torque on your swing that
it really depends on how well he does in rehab.
Right. And Ozzy went on the IL yesterday with a fractured toe.
Yeah. And I saw – which he has the worst luck with that.
He does.
He's broke his pinky.
He's broke his toe before. Yep. Second time he's broke his toe. I mean, just the randomest injuries. You would call him fragile, but it's not like he's ever been out for a whole season.
Yeah.
He just little injuries.
It should be a quick recovery. I mean, it's a fracture, so
I would say mid-May.
Well. Yeah.
Mid-May before we see him again at the best.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating. And obviously you mentioned Strider, so that's three major pieces, and this is still probably the best team in the world with three of their best players out. So
how's Max Fried throwing on the bump right now?
He did a lot better last game.
Miami, he finally got back on track. He's throwing today at 2:00.
Okay. I liked his interview where he was like, you know, I'm in a hole right now, but my team's really, you know, supported me. They've bailed me out a couple times. So he used some explicitives, but he was like, I just need to get back into where I am. And so I think he really stuck by his word this last game. We'll see if he can continue it. But I think he's figuring it out now. You know,
yeah,
slow start.
He gave up 9 earned runs in the first 2 starts, and he doesn't have a loss.
Yeah.
That's how good this Braves team is.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it'll be fun to see him get back to himself.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. He's in a contract year. He's trying to make some more money from the Dodgers. and so we'll definitely see that. But, yeah, this Braves team is still the best in the world. They're better than that Dodgers team that's 11-8 out there. We miss me with all that. Let's hype these guys up. They got three great players, and the rest of that lineup sucks.
Let's talk about their famous pitcher that they got.
Yeah,
you know,
he struggled. Yoshinobu.
Yeah.
Oh, him. Yeah. I was thinking about Shohei, and I was like, wait a minute. He's batting right now.
Yeah.
Well, he's out there on the sidelines, you know.
He's gambling.
He's gambling out there as well.
Yeah, for real.
To feel something.
I think a really good thing to highlight, though, is the Braves' office. I mean, last, you know, when they won in 2021, they pieced together some random team and they won. And that's what they're kind of having to do right now. And I think they've done a great job of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Strider being out. Darius Vines, I don't know if y'all saw his start.
I s- Dude, he
pretty good start.
What's his ERA right now? Something like crazy low.
Well, he's only had one start. Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez
is the one that has. He's our ace right now.
What a sign.
But Darius Vines coming into a away game against Houston, which Houston is whether they suck or not, it's an intimidating team to play against, especially in their own home stadium.
Yeah, beating on them trash cans.
Yeah. and to go, I think it was 4.2 innings, 4 hits and only 1 earned run as a start is pretty impressive. And then, Ronaldo Lopez, I mean, he is pitching lights out.
One run in 18 innings. Yeah,
he is doing great. And his slider... holy cow. I mean, it'll be like 10 inches off the plate and dudes are swinging at it because it looks like it's going to hit them. Yeah. It is crazy. So
let me ask you this. Do you think this is good for the Braves right now? Like, they've got so many players out right now. Like, obviously, Strider's gone for the season. You just got to let that go. But, like, this could be good to let Max Fried maybe build some I mean, even though he's going to go to the Dodgers after this, we still got him now, so we might as well make the most of it. And maybe just give them a little extra oomph and maybe kind of cool down the Jets right now so it's not so much going through the entire year that, like, they win outright crazy and then we just fall into what we did last year and just...
I think they're in a good position. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I think they're fine. I think that as a baseball team, you know, I feel like injuries are just, like, going to happen at some point. I'd rather them happen at the start. Because the Braves are going to be fine. Like,
I'm not worried at all.
They could lose Ronald today, and it would hurt. But they would They would still probably be the best team in the NL.
They'd find someone to some All Star
dude in AAA or something or Double A.
They got the Mets. The Mets got to replace Ozzie, former All Star, signed him to a minor league contract.
Yeah,
is he the guy that they pulled up from AAA?
No, that's David Fletcher.
Okay, they have Luis Guillorme, or however you say his last name. I mean, he's 2 starts I think so far. And he's already gotten a couple hits. He's gotten big RBIs. Hit last night. He's
guy's
produced.
Doing a happy dance. He's out of New York and down in Atlanta, man.
He's already producing, and no one wanted to sign him. Yeah. Like it was a cheap contract. No offense to him, but it was a cheap contract for an all-star player. And we still have Ozzie, who will come back eventually. So it's like what the Braves are. I've heard so many people say, "Oh, Braves are over. Braves are washed because there's so many injuries." Season is so long and they're still winning and you're saying that they're struggling. We got a long season to go. I'm not worried at all about them.
Yeah, the most annoying thing is the Braves odds dropped behind the Dodgers to win the World Series because they lost Spencer Strider. My thing on this is I love Strider. I'm glad he's a Brave for a long time. Starting pitching that's in the past. I mean, you can say what you want about it, but 5 innings is as most as you're going to get out of guys. Even Strider struggled to get through 5. Starters just aren't what they were. So at this point, I mean, to take you back to 2021 in the World Series, the Braves won game 4 with Kyle Wright. Tucker Davidson started game 5.
Who?
Dylan Lee started a game in the World Series. Who? So pitching is great. You know, everybody wants to say that's why the Braves have lost to the Phillies the last 2 postseasons, but they haven't hit. You have to hit. So
literally almost no hits in that series last year. It was ugly.
The pitching is going to be what it's going to be. It's a huge blow to lose Strider, but there's no doubt this team, I mean, they've already done it. They've already done it where they just hit their way out of these funks. So there's no reason to say that, like, their lineup is so much better than the Dodgers. I cannot emphasize that enough. I see so much about how the Dodgers top 3, like, we love to say their top 3 might be the best of all time. Well, what about the other 6? You have Jason Hayward starting. Jason Hayward that, in the year of 2024.
That guy played for the Braves in like 2012.
He's like,
man,
36 years old.
Holy
like,
crap.
I mean, I just can't do all this media that we give the Dodgers and they're 11-8. You would think they're 17-0 right now, the way they're put on Instagram and Twitter.
What was crazy, I saw someone pointing this out, when the day after the Nationals beat the Dodgers, the Nationals, one of the worst teams in the MLB, that's when rankings came out and Dodgers were number one. And people are like, they showed a clip of the Nationals hitting a home run off of the Dodgers and they're like, this was right before rankings came out. I get if you're going to pick a team that's going to be the front page, the poster child of the MLB, but at some point you got to say, all right.
They're 11-8.
Yeah, they're 11-8.
Mets are 9-8.
When do you say, all right, this might not be, we can still, you know, make them the poster child, but they're struggling. When are you going to adjust that? When are you going to change it?
It's fine that they're the poster boys. Like, that's fine. They're LA. They're big market.
I would rather not the Braves be the poster child, right. Honestly. Let them just sit in the back, you know. But
yeah, that's
it's just
fine.
Ridiculous.
But you just sit there and just continue to be arrogant enough to put them at the number one team because they have Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie mm-hmm. Freeman. Okay. I can show you six Braves that are going to hit for the same average. Like I know they're huge names. That's great. Matt Olson's going to hit 50 home runs. Riley's mm-hmm. going to hit 35 and bat 295. Acuna's going to steal 70 bases and hit 30 homers. Like, the Braves match everything the Dodgers do. The Dodgers' starting rotation might be a little bit better just because of Strider. But with the power rankings, what they like to say is, well, the Braves have to take a step back because they lost Strider. Power rankings are right now. How are they playing right now? The Braves are 12-5. The Dodgers are 11-8. They're on par with the Mets. Give me out. I'm done with this.
It doesn't make sense. MLB's trying to make. I think they're too focused on the money than the actual game.
Yeah, they're worried about LA. And I don't mind the Yankees being number one. Yankees are probably the best team in the league
They are playing very well.
They're pitching well, and they don't have Gerrit Cole, and they're hitting well. I mean, Soto and Judge are.
It's a crazy duo. Crazy duo.
So I don't mind the Yankees. I like the Yankees fine. The Dodgers are what really bowl me. They get me going because.
Oh, I can tell.
They don't win any World Series. They never win World Series, but they're always the betting
favorite.
They
won the Mickey Mouse one in 2020.
Get me out of here with that.
Okay, well, before Justin absolutely blows a head gasket in this room, and Avery's well on his way to getting there too, thank you for listening to us today on this special edition of the podcast. We covered the Masters and the Braves. A big thanks to our panelists, Avery James and Justin Gray, for joining the show. We will be back next week with another episode. The Sports Squad is a production of Bell Ringer Phoenix Media. Jasmine Garcia is the TVC Lab coordinator and producer. Brianna Law is the assistant producer, and Dr. David Bull is the coordinating producer. We are coming to you from the TVC Lab and University Hall on the Somerville campus of Augusta University. The opinions stated here are those of the individuals, not Augusta University. You can find us at aubellringer.com, on the Augusta Press website, on Spotify, and on social media. Please send your comments to bellringerproduction@gmail.com. Have a great day and listen again soon. This is Patrick Moat saying so long. Back at you next week. We're out.